What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, NXT AEW review. Let's go ahead, get into it. October 7th, I'm releasing this October 8th. Very rare that I do that. And let me lower my levels a little bit. Came in a little hot there, didn't I? Let's go ahead, talk about this. also, we've got G1 coverage, NXT UK coverage. This week on the Weekender will be dropping a little bit late, I think a day late. It'll be on Monday, I believe, is when Steven's going to do it, because he wants to take in all of the GCW collective. That way he has coverage for you guys. So, my God, let's talk about NXT and AEW. To me, they weren't can't-miss shows. I always enjoy AEW, but it wasn't a can't-miss show to me. I liked Brian Cage and Will Hobbs. Sometimes Brian Cage, it seems like he slows down a little much for some of the stuff that he does. But I saw a Reddit thread that said like he is basically a creator wrestler that you would cook up. And I agree. I love the drill claw. It's one of my favorite moves. Him getting the win was fine. It's for the FTW Championship, which isn't necessarily recognized within the context of AEW. Ricky Starks is on commentary. He's so good. Taz is so good at commentary. I will say Tony Schiavone being like, oh, I've never seen that pump handle face buster before. It was a little weird because I know he's called Brian Cage's matches where he's done them. It was those flashes of like 99 Schiavone that I got frustrated with. But he's such a welcome, warm voice that it's like, ah, who gives a shit? Who cares? I don't mind. We all screw up. It happens. And that one is such a just a minor thing, like a remote complaint. Who cares? Ricky Starks gets in the ring, Taz gets on the microphone, and offers Will Hobbs a shot in Team Taz. Darby Allin interrupts and gets them out of the ring, which I do wonder why. I mean, Brian Cage just won a match. Ricky Starks is there, but okay. I thought that Will Hobbs is going to attack Darby Allin here, and I kind of would have liked it. Lance Archer narrates a video package showing his history with Moxley. Archer says he's angry, wants to kick somebody's ass, and says he's going to win the AEW World Championship next week. If they're going towards that next week and Eddie Kingston at the pay-per-view, I don't know how in love with that I am. I like Eddie Kingston just fine. I really do. But he lost. He already lost. To me, I don't like the idea of giving a challenger back-to-back title shots when they lose and it's completely clean. Oh man, I love the Brush with Greatness match. FTR defeated the Hybrid 2. Jack Evans is one of the reasons that I got into non-WWE wrestling after WCW closed and ECW closed. I wasn't that into TNA in like, gosh, 2003-2004. I'd watch it, but I wasn't that into it. It just wasn't good for me. And then around 2005, I got into more like clip sharing and P2P stuff. And I found somebody sent me a video of Jack Evans in the Scramble Cage match doing that double backflip. And I was like, okay, I need to find all this. I need to figure out what this is, where he wrestles, and what kind of stuff they do. And it really, that most of their wrestling couldn't have been more opposite of that in Ring of Honor, but he was a big part of that, and I thought Angelico was one of the highlights of Lucha Underground. I thought he was a guy that would transition over really, really well, and now I do think they've been a bit underwhelming at times, but this match was good. It's one of my favorite FTR matches since they came over to AEW, and I think that the contrast in styles between FTR and the Hybrid 2 really made this match just really, really fun. I loved it. All for this. I'd love to see them work again. I want to see, really, Ben Carter and Lee Johnson end up teaming up, because I think they could be what a lot of people thought the Hybrid 2 were going to be, and I think they could honestly get something special out of that team, out of both teams. So we'll see how it goes. The Bucks are shown reacting to the match backstage. They nailed a camera in with a super kick. They were trolling this entire match. Like, they were watching the monitor over their shoulders and stuff. Very funny. Best Friends come out, and they continue the weenies thing. They show FTR dressed as weenies on the big screen. I didn't like it as much when this was like Usos doing this, and it was, I mean, I was there in person when they did that shaving thing, and it just wasn't as entertaining. This was, I don't want to say more subtle, but more in character for what best friends do. They've got a match next week. I'm fine with that. AEW TNT Championship dog collar match. I thought the best explanation of this was there were two people in this match and three people bled. This was good. Cody Rhodes regains the TNT Championship. Lots of people talking about, oh, Brody's buried. Brody's buried. Brody got pinned for the first time in over 2 years. Whether or not he was on TV, whether or not whatever, he got pinned for the first time in like 2 years. Not only is he fine, he's better off than the afternoon before he won this championship. They helped make Dark Order in one day, in one match, in about 5 to 10 minutes a couple months ago. Cody Rhodes is one of the most over competitors, wrestlers, performers, whatever the hell you want to call it, in wrestling right now, let alone AEW. So I don't have a problem in the world with them doing that. I don't mind it at all. Why not? He's back. He's good to go. He had some time off. They had a good story and a reason for it. I like it. Dark Order coming out to the ring and looking concerned, I thought added some gravity to the situation. Really enjoyed this. It was very bloody. I don't need all the blood and all that stuff, but I think these guys probably know when it helps, and it probably helped right there. Cody Rhodes cuts a really good promo after this and says it's his life's work to be a pro wrestler, and he's going to defend the title next week. And Orange Cassidy comes up and gives Cody a thumbs up. Cody gives one back. I like it. This Kenny Omega interview was fun. Alex Marvez, they're getting that money back out of Alex Marvez. Omega talks about his history winning tournaments and talks about the number one contender tournament. He says it can be a singles wrestler or it can be a tag team wrestler like Adam Page. It can be a guy like Hangman Page. It can even be a cowboy. I thought this was really good. Got a good laugh out of me. Big Swole defeated Serena Deeb. Man, Serena Deeb is in shape, showing up to work, getting her legs underneath her. I really like it. I think they should do vignettes on her about how she had this opportunity with CM Punk and she kind of pissed it away, how she lost her job earlier this year and decided that she wanted to wrestle again. I don't think a lot of people watching AEW Dynamite know or realize that within a 6-year period before she got to AEW, she had, I think, 4 matches. She did an impact spot with James Storm. She faced Shuri Kondo over in Japan. And then she did the 2 Mae Young Classic matches in 2017. Didn't wrestle for 3 years before coming to AEW. And has now done pretty good. Big Swole looks great. She looks so awesome. She just, her selling, it adds so much. I think that this women's division has come a really long way in AEW. They're going to get Riho back. They're going to get Yuka Sakazaki back eventually. But right now, they have added Serena Deeb. They got Britt Baker back. They got Big Swole clicking on all cylinders. I like it. I do think they could have Hikaru Shida pop up a little more often. I think since the beginning of August, she's had 3 matches and 2 matches in the last couple months. I wouldn't mind seeing the champion around. AEW's got this bad habit, man, of where a woman wins a championship and they just kind of vanish from TV. They got to get better at that. Jon Moxley says he's not going to be celebrating Dynamite's 1-year anniversary due to all the opponents he's faced and will face. And he talks about facing Lance Archer and he'll leave everything in the ring. We see videos from Lance Storm, Paul Stanley, Kevin Smith, Eli Roth, Gabriel Iglesias, Chavo Guerrero Jr., Steel Panther, Shaquille O'Neal, MJF, Don Callis, DDP, Lars Ulrich from Metallica, Slash, Dennis Miller, Bully Ray, Chris Jericho's dad, and most notably, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. It seems like that forbidden door is opening just a little bit more. Hiroshi Tanahashi appearing even in video form on AEW programming. That was a nice touch. Oh, the main event match. Jericho and Jake Hager defeating Luther and Serpentico. Luther ran out of gas way too soon. Way too soon. He had to come prepared for this match. Had to. And he didn't. The slips, the fall off the apron, him taking forever to get to the top rope, man, that was rough. If you took those two things out, you could have forgiven the cardio aspect of it. I thought the execution of his moves was good. But, man, I don't know about that one. And I know that this is important to him and Jericho. But this one ended a little too late, I thought. MJF came out and interrupted Jericho. Had a clown, everybody booed, and then he revealed a picture of himself as a gift to Jericho. Jericho breaks it, and then they laugh about it. The credits roll, and Jericho's credited for everything. That was AEW. If you didn't catch the if you only caught the title matches, you were in good shape for this show. Next week's AEW is the anniversary show. We have the TNT title match. Miro and Kip Sabian are going to be in action as well. By the way, that TNT championship match is Cody and Orange Cassidy. Tag title match, FTR versus Best Friends. And then you get the world championship match, Moxley versus Archer. I love it. A huge show next week. But let's talk NXT. Tommaso Ciampa and Kushida had a match because they got into it earlier in the day. This was a fine match that was ended, unfortunately, by Velveteen Dream interfering. I thought he was going to get the call up. He did not. DQ, Tommaso Ciampa defeated Kushida, and Kushida beat his ass anyway. It felt like the crowd, what little crowd they had, just was zapped after this. They were just like, him? Okay. All right. Earlier in the day, Drake Maverick had been strategizing with Killian Dane. They face Ever-Rise. Ever-Rise beats the shit out of Drake Maverick. But then Dane gets frustrated, drags Drake Maverick over, tags himself in, powerbombs Drake onto Chase and got the win. I like the team. I wasn't feeling the direction with Killian Dane being in that never-ending circle of North American title contenders. Drake Maverick, I wasn't much in the Legado del Fantasma storyline. And now that he's out of that, do the odd couple tag team with these two. The music after this just slaughtered me. It was so funny. The whistling or whatever it may be. Oh, Jesus. I thought that was very funny. Video package for the return of Toni Storm. Good to see her back. Not much to add that I didn't already add on Sunday. Throughout the night, we see these really great NXT vignettes. The Garganos are walking their dog, and Candace and Johnny agree that she deserved a rematch. But then they get to their home and realize that Indy Hartwell sent them a new TV to replace their broken one. And Candace is a little hesitant, but later she sees Johnny watching the Battle Royal with some highlights. And he says, hey, there was a USB stick that was included with this. And did you realize how many times Indy saved you in that Battle Royal? And they eventually agree that Indy's all right by them. I thought this was great. They helped make somebody in one night and played off of something that happened in the past. This was really, really good. I couldn't say anything negative about this. Candace was great. Johnny was great. They helped make Indy Hartwell without her even being there. This was fantastic storytelling, fantastic development, great additions to this character. You wonder what Indy Hartwell's motives are. You wonder where this is going to go. I dig it. Will it be a tag team? Will it be a mentorship? I don't know. And I'm all about it. Love it. Unfortunately, Austin Theory beats Leon Ruff. Leon Ruff rules. But he gets on the mic and says he didn't get to warm up against Adam Cole. But says he has now. So Dexter Lumis comes out, kicks his ass, taps him out with a referee stoppage. Or gets a referee stoppage after the arm triangle, but it seemed like this method was followed too much. There's a match, somebody else comes out, They fight, you do something else. Because that happened with Dexter Lumis. Cameron Grimes came out and hit him with the cave-in. Now, I get that they had to have Austin Theory win a match. They had to. Otherwise, it's just going to be, oh, okay, well, he lost again. And he's going to lose to anybody of any substance that he faces. And it's probably going to be like that for a while. Probably a long while. Yeah. So, as mentioned, Cameron Grimes hit the cave-in on Dexter Lumis. So, they're doing that. And they'll set up a match next week or something, I'm sure. Ridge Holland credits Adam Cole for the expensive car he's been driving, insinuating, hey, he got paid off for attacking him. But then Ridge Holland beats Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan comes to Danny's aid after he's getting beaten up, and there's a dive in which twists Ridge's leg all the way around, his foot all the way around. He has to be carted off and taken away on a stretcher. That was scary. I hope that Ridge Holland is okay. That is so unfortunate. Your heart's got to go out to Ridge Holland, getting this opportunity, coming over here to America, and then this happens. NXT is in a bad way with injuries right now. Karrion Kross, they just lost Keith Lee a while back. They got Kyle O'Reilly on the shelf. They got Finn Balor on the shelf. Just lots of injuries. Tegan Knox again. Rough, man. Thoughts go out to Ridge Holland. Get well soon. Damian Priest says that he is taking on all challengers. Cool. Why not? I do think that he is a very cool character. We'll see how that plays out. Timothy Thatcher's wrestling school. He explains a crossface. That leads into the Shotzi Blackheart-Xia Li match. Shotzi gets the win. After the match, Boa comes out and gives Xia a letter, and they leave together. And then we get a graphic for the main event. I'm interested to see what's up with Xia Li. I know that she went to bat for herself recently. I don't even know if it was recently. Went to bat for herself. That's good. You have to, or else you're going to end up getting ignored and passed over. And she wasn't ready for that. Or wasn't content with that, rather. I'll have more on that in the coming weeks, I'm sure. I've been trying to find out more, but it says a lot about her. Oh, Ember Moon came out for a promo. The promo was not great. Right out of the gate, I was like, huh? I think the world of Ember Moon. If you all have followed any of my Q&A shows, every single time somebody says, who would benefit most from going to AEW, I say Ember Moon. One, they'd give her a manager. Two, she's great in the ring. She could lead a lot of people. I've went through the reasons time and time again. But when she comes out and she says, can't believe they gave me a mic to talk on, that implies one of a few things. Either they didn't have belief in her to cut a promo, which this one didn't do a lot of great favors, or they were afraid she would just say something off the cuff. And she doesn't necessarily have that reputation. I watched WWE backstage because gotta for my job, but nobody else did. And they didn't see the fact that she would criticize the product. And it wasn't like, I don't think it was common knowledge. I didn't think the promo was offensive or anything, but it didn't do her any favors. Also, what didn't do her any favors was the weird ambient noise that WWE laid underneath her promo. It wasn't like people watching a promo. Instead, the audio they laid underneath it were like as if people were impolitely chatting with one another instead of listening to her promo. And I thought that undermined whatever she was going to say anyway. Io Shirai comes out. They face off. Rhea Ripley comes out and she gets attacked by Raquel and Dakota. And Ember and Rhea fight them off. Io hits the bricks and she says that that's not her problem. The NXT women's title is her problem. Makes sense to me. Ember and Rhea defeated Dakota and Raquel. They've nerfed Dakota an awful lot. They've nerfed Raquel an awful lot. Doesn't seem like Rhea is going up as I thought she would. They need some help on SmackDown. Hopefully they'll get it in the draft. But Ember Moon did look like a step behind, half a step behind, and is probably still working on getting into ring condition in that regard and up to speed and all that. And that being said, she's still better than a significant portion of wrestlers in the world. That eclipse that she hit was really great, and I'm sure that within like a month, month and a half, not only will she be there, I think she'll be near the top of her game in that amount of time too. So glad to see her back in action. She needed to be off Raw or SmackDown, because whatever that was just, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, and it was lame. They didn't use her, not even to the best of her abilities. They didn't use her to half of her abilities. And they wasted effectively two and a half years. It was really 1.5 years, and then she got hurt. Nothing you can do about that, but you probably shouldn't have had her in that stupid situation anyway. Oh, man. Also, I should specify, Wardlow, Hangman Page, Colt Cabana were announced for the title tournament as well. They joined Jungle Boy, Rey Fénix, and Kenny Omega. I don't believe anything was announced for NXT next week. That is a strategic move that they had to probably do, I would imagine. Guys, thank you all so much. Sorry for the delay of this review. They should be on time moving forward. Until next time, we're out.